If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again.
From Bloomington, Indiana, welcome to Prescription for Healthcare on WFHB Community Radio, sponsored by Medicare for All Indiana Bloomington. I'm Karen Greenstone, along with Dr. Rob Stone.
Hello.
Prescription for Healthcare welcomes Dr. Ed Weisbart back to talk with us about a new study released by Physicians for a National Health Program, PNHP, and Students for a National Health Program, SNAHP, or SNAP. Dr. Weisbart lives in St. Louis, Missouri. He's the board secretary of PNHP and chair of the Missouri chapter. Dr. Weisbart has an extensive history of strategic planning, medical group leadership, and political advocacy. Welcome to Prescription for Healthcare, Dr. Ed Weisbart.
Why, thank you. Nice to see you both.
Dr. Weisbart, you've been working to alert the public on the troubles with Medicare Advantage for several years. We spoke with you about it in March earlier this year. We're going to switch gears and talk about the new PNHP study looking at the Medicaid program and how Medicaid can shift away from cutting eligibility for patients by state governments. As a reminder to our listeners, the Medicaid program is jointly financed by the federal and state governments, but administered at state level. The study shows how state governments can run the Medicare program in a way that provides quality healthcare at lower cost for patients by redistributing healthcare dollars away from managed care schemes by removing the middlemen from Medicaid into actual patient care. As of April 2025, Medicaid insured 71 million people nationwide. That's a staggering number, including people with disabilities, children and families, pregnant women, the elderly, and working adults without affordable insurance. Will you please talk about the study, who was involved, and why it is important for us to be talking about it?
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, we've been concerned about the privatization of healthcare writ large, and our focus for the last few years has been, as you said, on Medicare Advantage, with the new attacks happening to the Medicaid program nationally. We started to look here as well and realized, holy cow, this has fallen below our radar and has actually grown much more quickly and to a much larger extent with much more egregious practices than even Medicare Advantage had been doing. Thank you, President Trump, for bringing this to our attention. Now that it's got our attention, we're realizing that really a pretty simple strategy would make a huge difference. What we did was we looked at how much money do states spend today on Medicaid, how much of that goes through managed care, how much money do states spend today on Medicaid managed care, how much of that is spent by the federal government, because they, as you said, fund a portion of it and the states fund a portion, how much of that is actually spent by the states, are managed care organizations living up to their promise and saving money for the states, how much, or is it more as we have found elsewhere, does the privatization through the insurance companies actually drive up the cost? We looked at all of that and how much it would drive it up. And our conclusion, after spending months digging into this, is that if a state got rid of the managed care industry from its Medicaid program, most states individually would save hundreds of millions of dollars a year. They wouldn't be breaking new ground. Other states, a few have done that. And the evidence shows that they would be saving this money and actually improving the health of people on Medicaid. And if you roll that up for the country, the federal government, if all states did this, the federal government would spend $43 billion less on Medicaid. States, all written large, would spend $34 billion less. We'd be spending $77 billion less per year on Medicaid. And I'm not enough of an economist to say what that means over 10 years, but let's say times 10, $770 billion compared to the $1 trillion that they're cutting. So we're in the right order of magnitude of this being a material way to mitigate some of the harm that the dramatic cuts from the 2025 budget reconciliation bill will introduce. And we can do that and improve the health of people. It's really interesting. We had been talking about this as an issue for a decade. I have in Missouri, and it didn't land anywhere. But We're in a completely different circumstance now. Many states have budgets that are struggling to break even over the next couple, 3 years because of these cuts. Their Medicaid programs are really under attack. I think right now we may have a more receptive audience in state legislatures when we go to them and say, hey, here's a bucket of money you can save while improving the health of people in your program. So it's a pretty exciting window.
Who helped you with the study?
We had help from people all over the country. The PNHP Policy Committee was the core group, thanks to Dr. Stephen Kimball and Kip Sullivan were two of the most active voices, but then there's others too who were involved in it. And then we recruited into the study a couple of Harvard attorneys, and we included Sheldon Taubman, who is the architect of the most important example we have. In 2012, the state of Connecticut did what we were proposing, and we had phenomenal success that we can talk more about, but he was one of the key architects. There were probably others, and he's remained very involved in protecting what they did.
Actually, that's my second question for you. As an example, Connecticut switched from a privatized to a deprivatized program, coupled with a new publicly run care coordination program that improved quality of care. So will you please tell our listeners about the results of this change so far?
It's phenomenal. And it's great that Connecticut did this, because remember, Connecticut is considered the world capital of insurance.
Right.
I'm sure one of the things everybody who's thinking about this proposal thinks is the insurance industry, they're big, they're powerful. Look at who we've got in our state. You've got WellPoint in Indiana. I'm sure that's one of the first things people think about is how can we take this on? Well, it's pretty interesting that Connecticut is our role model for this, since they are the world capital of insurance. So if they can do it, I think we can figure out ways in our states. In 2012, Connecticut did this. They eliminated all the managed care contracts from their Medicaid program. They didn't actually staff up their Medicaid state agency program very much. Just maybe a dozen more staff that they added, not a really material increase. And what they did was they switched from capitating, prepaying per person, the managed care organizations, the insurance industry. Instead, they contracted with what are called administrative service organizations, or ASOs, and they used three of them, one for different components. And these administrative service organizations are completely different from managed care organizations. Managed care organizations are capitated, they take risk. If they can get in the way of healthcare and spend less money, then they make more money. ASOs, administrative service organizations, don't bear any financial risk. They are simply contracted for a specified set of services. So the state may say, here is the prior authorization program we want you to run. Here are the criteria we want you to implement. And we'll pay you this much just for running that program. And then they don't make any more money if they over deny care. They just do exactly what the state says. They did that. They outsourced some of the administrative functions to three administrative service organizations, staffed up a little bit, really. And it's really worked. They built these care management programs that are similar to what the managed care organizations claim they do. Managed care organizations claim they do care management. Really, all they do is they block access to healthcare. They don't really manage care. Instead, in Connecticut, they established primary care case management, fancy term. What that means is they started paying primary care physicians a little bit more for doing the care coordination work that you would want them to do, that many of them try to do but don't have time because they're not paid. They created that primary care case management, paying a little bit extra for that. They created patient-centered medical homes. They did a number of things, and this all resulted, proven results, of less demand for urgent care, less use of emergency rooms, fewer preventable hospitalizations, phenomenal success, better health outcomes, earlier detection of cancers, longer life expectancies. A phenomenal program. And by the way, state legislature, since 2012, this tiny state of Connecticut has saved $4 billion. And they pay, if you compare Connecticut now to the rest of New England, they spend 14% less on their Medicaid program than they did than the rest of New England, which still has the insurance companies engaged. Phenomenal, huge financial savings and what dramatic improvements in health outcome. Why has this been sleeping behind the radar for the last 13 years? We need to do this.
Yeah, that's my question, is why aren't people flocking legislators to Connecticut to say, how do we do this?
Let's make that happen. Now is the time. House is on fire. Let's build fire engines.
Okay.
Let me just put a point on that then. So instead of these insurance companies operating on a model where they are incentivized to cut care, they're incentivized to deny care, instead, hire companies who have expertise. They're still private companies, but their expertise is to just make things efficient, make the wheels turn, but not to interfere with care, which ends up actually making, obviously, but not so obviously, people healthier and saves money.
Turns out healthcare makes you healthier when it's when you don't get in the way of it. Hooray, let's do this.
What's that, Ed? Okay. Now, knowing that you are not an expert on Indiana politics, piggybacking on what we're talking about, what do you see as a winning strategy for us here in Indiana and nationally? Where do we go from here?
For Indiana, I think the core of the strategy is the same as go to your state legislator with a bucket of cash that they can start saving now that they desperately need to. And for Indiana, the numbers are we estimate anywhere from a 10 to 17% reduction in the Medicaid managed care budget for every state. And so for Indiana, that means pretty quickly you could save anywhere from $200 million to $340 million a year. Anywhere from $200 million to $340 million a year that you could start saving. And the savings start happening fairly quickly when a state decides to do that. And so, as PNHP, when we go to state legislators with this proposal, we can then also say, you can save all this money. And by the way, as physicians, we're here to tell you with complete confidence, you will be improving the health of people on your Medicaid program. I know this is not everybody's goal. It is our goal. If you're worried about that at all, let me put your mind at ease. There's compelling evidence that you can save hundreds of millions of dollars and simultaneously make people healthier. What part of this do you not want to do? And Indiana has an interesting piece too that most states have, which is the pharmacy benefit. So the pharmacy benefit today flows through the insurance industry in Indiana. And what that means for Medicaid is that there's a bunch of money that Medicaid rebates to states for their pharmacy program. If you have managed care involved, that money goes directly to clinics and to hospitals, which view this as a major cash cow, frankly. But if you deprivatize and pull the pharmacy benefit back into the state managed program, that money then goes to the state. The state could still choose to give that to the hospitals and clinics, but they can do it, they can use it as they wish. For the state of Indiana, that's another $95 million a year that the state of Indiana would be saving. And that's on top of the $200 to $340 million that I mentioned. So, ballpark number you could say is let's say $300 million in total. A lot of money.
We don't want to get too deep in the pharmacy benefit manager weeds, which is complicated, but a number of states I know have set up their own state programs to be the pharmacy benefit manager. And so that's what you're saying, basically, is that could easily be folded into this program and get another $90 million a year.
Yes, that's correct. We've known that for several years here in Missouri, despite being the home of some of the largest PBMs in the country.
Good on you. I want to ask you, Dr. Ed Weisbart, what is your prescription for healthcare?
We need to stop having discussions like this by moving healthcare back into the background where it belongs and simply make sure everybody in the country has access to the best doctors. Whatever doctor and hospital they want to go see, that should be their decision. Nobody should be getting in the way of it. We should get rid of all this stuff, get rid of the darn insurance companies. We would save a fortune and we would improve the health of our friends and neighbors and of ourselves. Businesses would become more competitive. And we should just go to, instead of having the thousands of payers that we have in our country, let's go to one payer, a single payer. Medicare is still, despite everything that's going on with it, it's still actually the best choice that we can build on. Let's rescue Medicare. Let's fix Medicare, the things we know that are faulty with it. Let's make Medicare a better program. And then say everybody in the country can have that, absent insurance company meddling.
Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Ed Weisbart, for taking time to talk with us today. We appreciate your continuing work and your willingness to dig deep into healthcare policy and explain why it is so important for everyone to be thinking about how such a critical program could better serve patients. It impacts all of us. This is Karen Greenstone and Rob Stone for Prescription for Healthcare on WFHB Community Radio in Bloomington, Indiana. To your good health, everyone. Stay safe and thank you for listening.
If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when. We may never see this moment or place and time again. If not now, if not now.